Hey everybody, movie retrospective time. I have to say I was not all that surprised when this one won the Patreon poll because I seriously can't believe we haven't done, well shit, it's not that we haven't done Day of the Dead, which is what we're doing today, the George Romero movie. I don't think we've done Dawn of the Dead. Did we do Dawn of the
I don't
Dead?
think we did that one either.
Or Night of the Living Dead?
Guess you kind of took them for granted.
That's kind of what I was thinking, and it's like really the reason that I decided, I know it's kind of like ass backwards that we're doing Day of the Dead first. But I guess I just thought of it because I saw that it was on Tubi when I was like scrolling through like horror movies. So I was like, oh shit, man. And that's the one that I haven't seen. Like, I've saw that the longest time ago. So I wanted to kind of give it a revisit. So we watched it on Tubi last night, and today we're going to talk about it. So yeah, Day of the Dead.
This was actually the least favorite of the series for me,
Yeah.
but watching it again, it's real watchable. It's real entertaining.
It
I liked
is,
it. I
yeah.
liked it better than I remembered liking it.
Me too. Me too. I mean, it's been several years since I've seen it. Obviously George Romero went on to make, other movies. He made like Land of the Dead, he made Diary of the Dead, and a few couple other ones, but it's like this one is kind of like the third of the first like unofficial trilogy, Night of the Living Dead in 1968, and then you had like Dawn of the Dead, and then Day of the Dead came out in 1985. And so I kind of feel like I can see where people are coming from with, I mean, this still has like pretty, it's really high ratings on like, Rotten Tomatoes and all that other kind of stuff, but it's the lowest of the three. And I can see why. This is a really different, it's different tonally than Dawn of the Dead for sure, because I feel like Dawn of the Dead was almost more comedic a little bit. Like it had like a lot more comedy
Well,
sort of elements.
Dawn of the Dead had some lighthearted moments in it,
Yeah.
but it had a lot of realism in it. It was
Yeah.
it had in the way of like say like The Walking Dead
Yeah.
kind of has realism in it. This one is in a way not as serious. Even though a bunch of fucking gore happens in it. Or it's not as realistic to me. I had a hard time with certain elements in the movie, but it still does, it was still fun to watch.
Yeah.
So it just did. That's how this is going to come at you. You can't take this one totally seriously.
Well, I feel like any horror movie that came out in the 80s, it's kind of hard. Well, especially because a lot of them were like tonally kind of and this one in particular, I can see where people criticize. It's like, oh, the acting is over the top. It's like everyone's just kind of screaming at each other the whole time. This is definitely, I think, the angriest of the movies and also maybe the bleakest. I think this is more similar tonally to the original Night of the Living Dead, which just like everybody squabbling and everything than it is to Dawn of the Dead. So I think that Dawn of the Dead is so revered, and it's like that's easily like the favorite of everyone's, out of those three. So I feel like people were expecting another movie like that, and George Romero made a kind of a different, a little bit of a different take on it. You know what I'm saying?
Guess it's open to interpretation.
It
To
is.
me, there were kind of elements of fucking The Thing, the original John
Yeah,
Carpenter's The
with the
Thing.
isolation, like everyone in kind of at each other's throats and shit.
Kind of military outpost, isolated, an outside threat. They don't trust each other. There's fucking internal battles going on. It had that aspect to it. Tonally, I kind of thought it was a little bit like Return of the Living Dead. But that's just me. That's just my
See, I didn't
interpret.
get that at all.
That's
I
how
mean,
I
Return of the
interpret
Living
it.
Dead was a straight up comedy.
I thought this was straight up comedy.
I don't think it was meant to be, though.
From the point of, all right, this is the thing. Tom Savini is a fucking Vietnam veteran. He knows military culture. All right. There's a lot about the soldiers in this movie that had me laughing because it's just not realistic. So from my point of view, it was comedy.
Well, like I said, I could, that's why a lot of people like kind of accuse a lot of the actors being like over the top. It doesn't bother me as much because I feel like they don't really, I don't think they really specify in the timeline of the movie how long these people have been down there, but it seems like it's been a long time and everyone's just kind of starting to lose their fucking minds. I mean, not the military guys and the scientists are all kind of starting to crack. So I kind of feel like that might go a long way toward explaining like why everyone is acting like such a fucking lunatic because they've been down there such a long time. There no progress is being made. They can't contact anybody else. They think they're the only people left in the whole world, and everyone's just starting to like lose their fucking
Yeah, it's
shit.
just unclear. I mean, look,
Yeah.
you got a guy with a really bad Jamaican accent, another guy with a
That poor
really
guy.
bad Irish accent. You got an army of fucking long-haired guys with mix-and-match uniforms from different periods. The weapons were all from different periods. You got 50-something-year-old privates serving underneath fucking 40-year-old captains. You know, it's just, that doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Now, if they had somehow cleared up or cleaned up this story to where these aren't really soldiers, these are remnants of fucking survivors from the surface that are just found old equipment and became soldiers, called themselves, you don't know.
Yeah.
They're definitely not soldiers as I knew them, and they're definitely not soldiers as Tom Savini would have known them. He was in the infantry like me. He was just from another era.
So yeah, he was Vietnam. He was a combat photographer. From
Vietnam, that's right. But he was with the infantry.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like infantry service. So he knows how they really are, you know. And there's just no military realism in it at all. So from my point of view, it was just entertainment and comedy.
Yeah, but like I said, that's how I see it too, because right. it doesn't really bother me all that much. And like I said, you know, the scientists in there are kind of like a little bit over the top and caricatures also. I just see it as how everyone's just like losing their fucking minds because yeah. they've been underground and there's zombies everywhere and they don't know what to do about it or what's going to happen. And so, and they all hate each other. So they're all just kind of like losing their shit.
For me being kind of like a fucking gun nut, historical nut, I'm tripping over the weapons that they had. They look like Colt SP1s or SP01 fucking rifles is what they look like. Kind of like it's an M16A1, the Army version. It has the forward assist on it, but not the brass deflector, with the old duckbill fucking flash suppressor on the end of it, the fucking triangular handguards. It's classic rifle today. But that would have been way out of date even for the 80s. You know,
I think this movie is not supposed to be taking place in 1985.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it's supposed to be.
I think it's only supposed to be like in the timeline of the zombie apocalypse, which, like I said, the first movie, which came out in 1968, and then when Dawn of the Dead came out, whenever that was, what was that, 1979, something like yeah. that. But I think there was only supposed to be a couple of years in between those. I don't think it was supposed to be like the amount of time between the movies coming out.
Yeah,
I think in universe there was only a few
then
years.
Then you throw out half of Mercurian fucking Uzis, which is an Israeli submachine gun, and that was, I think, late 60s too. So I gotta go back, but really you didn't see them in common usage until the 70s. So it's ambiguous. And then there were some HK-91s in there, or G3 rifles. I guess it might have been 60s, 70s. I think that maybe they're talking about the 1970s. But the uniforms they're wearing is just OD green. And, you know, by 85, they were using fucking BDUs, which are camouflage.
Well, like I said, I don't think it's supposed to be set in the 80s.
Yes, it can't be.
Like, in the timeline. I don't know if they really put that much thought into it.
Right.
But I don't think that it was supposed right. to be. I think it was only supposed to be, like, a little while.
It's, you know, me, my fucking attention to military detail, I'm fucking, my mind's kind of spinning. When is this supposed to be taking place? You
yeah.
know what I mean? But they were cool guns. And then because I really couldn't tell what the hell was going on in terms of the time and the military situation, I just say, this is comedy. That's how I'm interpreting it.
Or it's just like a fun...
It's just a fun movie.
Right. Yeah, that's fun what movie. I mean. That's right. I don't take it all that seriously. Right. Like I said, I don't know if it was like intentionally a comedy because it does right. seem like it's a very angry
right.
movie.
The first and the second one, though, were a lot more realistic.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, with the settings and, you know, I mean, you knew what time frame this was happening in.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess Day of the Dead is almost kind of like, it's a post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah.
And they're all carrying relics of the past around. So maybe they were down there 20 years, I don't know.
Well, it could have been, because the thing about it is that in-universe, and it's weird because... The place where they shot like all the underground scenes, it was like this big like mine. It was like an old mine in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the setting is great.
And that mine was actually used for what they said it was during the movie, where they said that was there was old Hollywood films stored down there. There was old, like, government records. It was all this kind of stuff. And they didn't, nobody really used it anymore, but that's what it was used for. And so George Romero basically, like, wrote the script around that location.
Yeah,
just because they wanted to use it so bad. And all the bats and shit that were flying around, they're like, it was cold down there. Like, it was all cold and wet, and like, it was all fucking up their equipment. A lot of them slept down there because it was so far, like,
that
to
was,
go to the...
That was the great old school way of making a movie. That's what they do with Escape from New York. Basically, they had a burned out fucking part. I think it, what was it, Chicago or something? It was burnt for.
I thought it was St. Louis.
Was it St. Louis? Yeah,
Missouri or somewhere like that. Somewhere in the Midwest.
They had a huge fucking blocks and blocks and blocks of burned out city, and fucking Carpenter goes, "We're gonna make a movie on here. We're gonna make a movie here because you can't buy a setting like that."
Well, yeah, I mean, look what they did with, like, Session 9 with that fucking creepy ass, like, abandoned mental hospital.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to write a movie about this shit.
Thus was born Escape from New York. Fucking fantastic classic.
But yeah, so the same thing happened here where it's like they basically had that location and he wanted to write something to do with that. Although all the exterior scenes were actually shot in Florida, in Fort Myers and on Sanibel Island, because George Romero was living there at the time. So basically what ended up happening with this, now obviously Night of the Living Dead, huge success, Dawn of the Dead, huge success, both critically and, you know, with audiences. So basically George Romero is kind of like riding high at the time because a lot of people were like, oh, you know, he's actually like a cool filmmaker and he's being successful and everything. So he got, I believe it was a 3-picture deal. I can't remember, I can't remember the production company, but they gave him a 3-picture deal. They said, look, you can make whatever you want as long as one of them is a sequel to Dawn of the Dead. And he was like, okay, but I don't really want to do a sequel right now. So first he made Knight Riders with Tom Savini, with the guys on the Knights. I think Ed Harris was in that too. Like,
that was terrible.
The motorcycle guys.
He did that? That was terrible.
Yeah, he made that movie. And then he made Creepshow, which was fucking epic.
Yeah.
Now, the stupid thing about that, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, on our Creepshow review, but it's like when Creepshow came out, I mean, now it's like a fucking classic. I mean, everybody fucking loves Creepshow because it's amazing.
Yeah.
But when it came out, everyone was kind of like, meh. You know, they didn't really, which is amazing to me, but whatever. So George Romero was kind of like, well, shit, man, I'm like making all this stuff and no one's really all that into it. So then he decides, he finally goes around and make Day of the Dead. Now, like I said, he had the location, and his first script, I think, was like 2.5 hours long, something like that. He said he wanted to make, quote unquote, the Gone with the Wind of zombie movies.
Damn.
So he had like this really like, kind of massive like idea that he wanted to do, and I'm not sure exactly what it all entailed, but because Knight Riders tanked and because Creepshow didn't do as well as they expected it to do, they basically, I mean, initially Day of the Dead was supposed to have like a $7-8 million budget, and the production company was like, yeah, we're cutting that in half. So he had to like pare down the script for like only $3.5 million instead of, he thought he was gonna have like $7 or $8 million to make the shit. So he had to really like kind of take out a lot of shit that he wanted. So he basically had to like restructure the whole thing. But I mean, okay, so there's like a documentary and it's called The World's End. I think it came out in 2013. I think it used to be on Shudder, but I didn't see it on there anymore. But you can watch it for free on YouTube because I just watched it earlier today. And George Romero basically said, yeah, you know, I did have to like cut down the script because, the budget got cut in half. But he's like, the movie that you see is the movie that I wanted to make. It's not kind of like, oh, I didn't get to make the movie I wanted or blah, blah, blah. Although one thing that did happen was that the production company were like, because he was like, well, I want to make it. That was another reason that they cut the budget in half, was because he wanted to say, I don't want it to be rated. I want it to be unrated so I can do all the gore and shit like that I want. And they were like, yeah, okay, but we don't want you to do that. So it's like, then, you know, they have the budget too. So that was another reason why. But he was like, look, I want this movie to be like super over the top gory and shit like that. And I will say that is easily the best thing about this movie is the gore is incredible.
Yeah.
The fucking effects look fucking great.
There's a lot more to this movie than gore, though.
But I'm saying that's my favorite part of it.
For me, it was a couple of the characters really stood out. Well, first of all, I'm going to say the setting is fucking fantastic. I didn't appreciate it on my first viewings of this. You know, now that I'm a little older and it's been a long time since I've seen it, I look at it now and says, yeah, that fucking mind setting was fucking very believable. Kind of had the feeling of fucking being trapped in that damn...
Oh, yeah.
Underground thing.
Well, because they were. Right. I mean, because the crew were living down there.
There are three characters that really stand out in terms of good acting. The female scientist, what was her name?
Oh, yeah. Sarah. Dr. Sarah Bowman.
Yeah. That's a really well-acted character. She did a great job on that. Fucking Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. I love that guy.
That guy knocked that performance out of the park. And seeing that character now, I got to check the dates, but that's got to be the prototype for the Herbert West character that, what's his name? Jeffrey Combs played. Because the cadence of his
voice is very similar.
And also how he got mad, that is exactly Dr. Herbert West.
Now, see, I wonder if one ripped off the other, or if it was just kind of like they're like, okay, act like a mad scientist, and that was just the first thing that came to those two guys' minds. I'm not really sure.
I got a strange feeling. I'm pretty sure that Day of the Dead came out first.
I thought they came out the same year. I got a weird feeling
that Jeffrey Combs ripped that character off.
Or like I said, it might have been the other way around. Because I
gotta check.
Or like I said, if they came out the same year, then it would be really hard to...
Maybe they just influenced each other somehow. Maybe they knew each other. I'd like to find that out. But I'm watching that guy do that performance, and I'm like, that's Herbert West.
Yeah, he seemed a lot like Herbert
West. That's Herbert West. And fucking, that's the same character played by two different guys.
Yeah.
And then the third character that knocks it out of the park is a dude that played fucking the zombie
Bub. Bub.
That's a fucking great performance.
Everybody loves Bub.
It's all facial acting.
He's a theater actor, that's why.
He did a great job on that. That was Academy Award winning acting.
George Romero said that too.
He did?
Like on the documentary
Absolutely. That should have got a fucking...
He said he should have got a fucking Oscar.
Fucking Oscar for that shit. That is exactly. His performance was perfect. Because, dude's a zombie. It's the first time you're kind of like having a relationship with this zombie through the screen. You're like, yeah, I understand it. The eye acting and the facial expressions.
Yeah, amazing.
And the fucking perfect. Knocked it out of the park. Best zombie performance ever.
Well, that's why, I mean, and you can see now why Bub is on, like, so much of the subsequent merchandising and stuff like that. Because people really responded.
Yeah. And what's funny is that Bub ends up being a heroic fucking figure in the fucking movie.
Yeah, he does.
He exceeded the sum of his parts. You know what I mean? He fucking avenged the death of his friend, who was a living person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very much like a Frankenstein's monster kind of performance.
I guess
like,
you could say.
Where he's very like sympathetic, or even like King Kong or something like that. Like a sympathetic monster type of thing.
He didn't choose to be a zombie. It just happened to him.
Yeah, it's like he couldn't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't help it. Yep. So I really liked, and I know that Romero went in that direction subsequently, like with Land of the Dead and stuff like that, where the zombies were starting to like be like somewhat intelligent and could actually start to plan and shit like that. So this was kind of the genesis of that, and Bub was the first one, because that was kind of Dr. Frankenstein's, his name was Dr. Logan, really, but everybody called him a Frankenstein during the movie.
Yeah.
But that was kind of his, even though he was batshit insane, he had, like, the right idea. He had, like, good intentions. He was like, look, we have to live on a planet with all these zombies, and we can't kill them all because we don't have enough, you know, ammo. There's not enough of us. So it's like we have to make them docile. We have to, like, train them to not eat us, you know what I'm saying?
There's something tonally about that character. Not only did that character remind me of Herbert West, he also kind of reminded me of Blair in The Thing.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
He ended up being batshit crazy.
Yeah.
In the end. Or, not really, it's just that I understand why he was doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah.
But it didn't make practical sense. You couldn't civilize all those fucking zombies.
No, but it's like, I kind of got to the point, too, where it's like, if they thought that they were the only people left on Earth, which subsequently, like in Land of the Dead and stuff, you find out that there actually were other people.
Yeah.
But these people think that they are the only people left. It's like they show at the beginning, they go out in the helicopter, they go 100 miles, and something like that, and nobody's there. They go to, like, the street, and it's just, like, a bunch of fucking zombies and an alligator, you know, comes out, like, in the streets of Fort Myers or whatever. And so they think no one's alive but them. So it's kind of like, what else are they going to do? And they all hate each other. They can't live in this fucking mine, like, forever.
Yeah.
So they at least want to have some hope, I guess, of like just going somewhere and not having zombies just like wanting to eat their faces all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, what else could you do? So like I said, even though Dr. Logan is a crazy person. He has a completely like valid idea, and he has like a valid idea. Like, he does horrible things. Like, spoiler alert, he does end up, he doesn't kill the soldiers. Like, later he doesn't start, but he does for sure, like, take their dead bodies and experiment on them without telling anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the very famous, effect of, like, the guy who's just laying there on the table and, like, his whole head is gone and it's just, like, his little brain sticking up.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Tom Savini and his crew called that gag the moose clit. Just because of like what it looked like. Yeah. I'm like, how do you know what a moose clit looks like?
Made that shit up.
I'm just not even gonna ask. But that's what they called
the
it.
The movie has aged pretty well. I liked it better now than I did back when I first
I did too. And a lot of people say that actually.
It's over time it's kind of fucking aged in a certain way, like a fine wine. There are only really two things that I would have changed. It'd have been easy tweaks, and I think the movie would have fucking ended up benefiting from it. But you know, it's the director who's gonna make this call. First thing I would have done is I would have toned down the soldiers and tweaked their dialogue just a little bit.
Yeah, they're very shouty.
So they weren't quite over the top, all right? I think they would have been better played a little more straight and a little more menacing. I think sometimes less is more when it comes to menacing.
Yeah.
I would have left them more of a fucking down tone possible threat. Instead of something
maybe
that was
scarier.
Scary because
instead of just like somebody like just cackling little, and
yeah,
screaming at you.
Yeah, too much cackling and too much over the top. To me, kind of was detrimental. They didn't feel threatening. They just felt like idiots. Which I think took away the power to
which
manage.
And that wasn't even like so much. I mean, Rhodes was slightly over the top, but it wasn't even so much him that bothered me. It was like the fat guy those other because they were just like going around going, wah!
Yeah.
You know, just like all the time.
No, I think Rhodes did pretty good job. I would have made him a little less shouty. But like I said, you know, that's the director's call. I don't really agree with that one. The second thing that would have been a super easy tweak, I think, that the movie would have benefited from is to get rid of the fake accents. You don't need to have a Jamaican accent on the guy, and you don't need an Irish accent. I mean, those accents didn't work. Maybe they did back in those days, but we live in a globalized society. Everybody knows what the accents really sound like now, and if you can't fucking do it perfectly, don't do it. It would have been better if they were just American guys.
If they just talked the way they would normally.
Yeah, and I think those characters would have been remembered a little more. The black guy should have basically been played straight, a kind of character that, you know, who's the dude I'm thinking of? Dude played across Kurt Russell in a thing. Did all the voiceovers for all the fucking crime films. What's his name? And then the other guy, he was kind of reminded me of the character from Alien 1. The guy who fucking worked down in with the mechanics.
Yeah.
Remember the guy who just said, right?
Yeah.
He should have just been that guy. Right. I forgot what his name was in the character.
I'm not really sure why exactly.
Talking about Keith David.
Yeah,
the fucking helicopter pilot basically should have been a character kind of like Keith David's character in the thing. You know what I mean? Which is just straight African-American guy. Because he was doing heroic shit in the movie. Remember that? He pulled the guns on the soldiers and shit. So I think he would have come across as a stronger character just in his own accent.
Yeah, because he was talking in the documentary too, and he's just sort of an American guy, so he doesn't. And it's really weird because Romero like asked him like, "Hey, can you do a West Indian accent?" And he did it, and he's like, "Okay, do that." So it's like, so like I said, I don't think there wasn't really any script reason for him to have to be like West Indian, to be Jamaican.
I just think it was some extra shit. Maybe it would have played well back in the 80s, but it just didn't age as well as it would today. He'd have been better if it was just straight American dude.
Maybe that's the thing. I kind of feel like maybe in the mid-80s there was kind of a thing where it's like they liked having like Jamaican dudes in their movies.
Jamaican dudes, or they wanted more exotic kind of characters in the movies.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Everybody had to be some kind of foreigner because, you know what I mean, there weren't as many foreigners around, I guess, at the time. Maybe it's an immigration thing. I don't know.
Well, and I don't know if it was so much. It's like, well, if these are the only people left on Earth, it's like it would be weird if they were all Americans, maybe. It's like, so maybe that's what he was thinking. I'm not really sure.
They're in a missile silo.
That's true.
Okay. There's evidently the remnants of the military and a science fucking thing. Which is, that's another strange thing, although certain things do happen in emergency situations. The Army, they had Army soldiers inside the missile silos, and the Army doesn't have any missile silos. That's all Air Force. So to be, sometimes people are get assigned to certain areas in emergency, but just to be accurate, you know what I mean? Chances are it would have been Air Force security guys.
Yeah.
Not Army guys.
But like I said, I kind of feel like, I mean, I think even the character of Sarah, she has like a throwaway line earlier. She's like, this operation was put together like in a couple of days. So it was obviously like the zombie apocalypse was taken over.
Yeah.
And like some of the like remnants of the authorities were like, oh shit, maybe we should like get a scientific team together and get a couple guys to protect them and see what we can do. And maybe that's like the only people that were left.
Just so they didn't really put together real quick.
Yeah. Cause so she does say that like at one point. So it's just like kind of like all these, this is very ramshackle operation. And they don't even know if anybody is left out there like to, to give them commands or like tell them what to do. So they're just kind of like stuck down there, you know, to experimenting and cutting up all these zombies and all this other kind of shit and just going batshit crazy down in this fucking mine.
I think Air Force would have looked cooler though. Because the Air Force never gets enough screen time. They got good Air Force security guys. They had a bad, and in that era, they had a badass uniform, fucking, you know, a bit OD green, and I think they had little blue berets and shit.
I think that
like
was
little ascot things. And it looked pretty cool.
That would have looked cool. Maybe they couldn't get their hands on any of those outfits.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, I mean, you got to think, too, these are, like, low-budget movies, so they're just kind of like, it's kind of like a catch-as-catch-can type of movie-making thing. It's like, hey, can we get this, that, and the other? No, we can't get that. Well, then we'll just have to use this. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of use whatever. But, like I said, I think, now, interestingly, George Romero cited this as his favorite of his zombie movies. He really, really liked this one. And Tom Savini, I think, has long said that this is probably, like, his best work. And I don't know. I might have to agree with them on this one because some of the fucking gags in this, like I said, the fucking the moose clit guy, like with just the brain left and the body, like all the fucking, you know, people going over sideways and all their guts falling out, like fucking Rhodes getting torn in half and like all the guts and him going, choke on it. You know what I mean? That's so fucking great. Like the one guy getting his head torn off, one guy getting his eye popped out. The like, zombie getting his fucking top of his head cut off with a shovel. It's just like, oh, and the Miguel getting his fucking arm chopped off and then fucking cauterized. Yeah. It's like just the gore in this is just, it's so, so good. I mean, and all of it is like really realistic. Yeah. Like, I think it's like, honestly, Dawn of the Dead, the gore was good in that too, but I like that they went with like a more realistic looking zombie appliances and stuff. Because I feel like Dawn of the Dead, a lot of the zombies in that just kind of had like green makeup on their faces and it didn't look quite as cool.
Yeah.
In this one, there's still a few green zombies like lurking around in the background. But what they did basically was, I mean, Tom Savini has said that, you know, a few months before they started shooting, it's like basically I had me and my whole crew and we were just down in my basement making thousands of zombie appliances for all the extras and stuff like that, like masks and like pieces of face that could be like put on and off like really quick. So the fact that they really went the extra mile to do the fucking effects like as realistic as they were, I mean, they really, really hold up.
Yeah.
I mean, and
yeah,
I
Bub still looked great. A lot
and
of
Bub looked really good too.
I understand. I saw the gags. I know how they did it.
Yeah, so me too.
But I didn't know how they did it at the time when I first saw it when I was a kid. I see it now and I go, oh, I see what you did. I see what you did. But you have to look closely and you have to have a knowledge of magic and fucking special effects. But back in the day when I saw this, it was fucking mind-blowing, especially when they fucking took that head off that body and the head still looked alive.
And the eyes were still moving.
Yeah, and I didn't see the cut.
Yeah.
I bought the whole shot.
Can I tell you, my favorite part of that scene where that dude gets his head torn off is that when his head is torn off and he's screaming, and then, like, the scream gets higher and higher pitched until it comes out, and I'm like, oh, that was a nice touch. I really like that they fucking thought of that. It's just, like, that makes me so happy that they, like, put that much thought into, like, these gags. Well, yeah, like I said, I think that I might have, I can't remember the name of that old Tom Savini documentary that came out. Shit, man. It must have came out in 86, 87, something like that. Because I think that Day of the Dead was the most recent film that he had worked on when that documentary came out. I think I saw the documentary about him before I saw this movie. So, like, when I saw the movie, I already knew, like, how all, they did all the gags and everything like that. But I don't... I don't think that, like, takes away from it at all. And like I said, I really think this is kind of, like, the pinnacle of, like, the practical effects that he did on there. I mean, they are disgusting. And the very famous story about this one, particularly that last scene where Rhodes gets torn in half by the zombies, they used all real pig guts. They got, like, these big 5-gallon drums of them, and they said, and we reused them, like, for people. We'd put them in, like, the fucking chest cavities and all this other kind of shit. It's like you'd do the scene, you'd scoop them back into the fucking bucket, and you put the bucket in the refrigerator. So he was like, so basically, we did some of the gags, we put the buckets in the refrigerator, and then we went down to Florida because we were shooting some exteriors down there, and then we were going to come back and, like, shoot Rhodes' death scene. When they came back, it had been like a couple of weeks or something like that, and someone had unplugged the refrigerator that they were keeping all the pig guts in, and they said you could smell it from like a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
And if you see like the behind the scenes shit where they were shooting that scene with Rhodes getting torn in half, it's like you can see all the zombies like doing this. They said Rhodes, the actor that played him, I was just watching the documentary about it, he said, I can still smell it to this day. It was like the smell was just like undescribable.
Damn.
It's just like these rotten fuck. Because he was right there, and he didn't have. They're like, we couldn't put anything like up his nose or anything like that, because you could see it like on the camera. So it's like he basically just had to like. He's like, some of the zombies had like fucking, you know, VapoRub or like English leather or something like that, like underneath their shit, so it would like kind of mitigate it a little bit. But he didn't have anything, and he's like, you could see it. It's like he really just looked like he wanted to hurl. Like after they said cut, it was like so fucking sad. But I was like, see, that's like fucking. Commitment to realism right there that we love in our fucking zombie movies. That's why I love Tom Savini.
Makes you want to see Dawn of the Dead now.
Yeah, I was. It's weird that, like I said, that we decided to do this one first, but...
Didn't somebody send us Dawn of the Dead on DVD? Or was it Day of the Dead that somebody sent us?
I don't... Did somebody send us Dawn of the Dead?
Somebody sent us this.
I'm not really sure.
Maybe not.
Well, I had to go. We have, like, such a huge pile.
Yeah.
And now the thing about this... So, like I said, this is free on Tubi at the moment. They did a remake of this, I think in 2008, that I think went direct to video. I have not seen it. They also did Day of the Dead Bloodline. That came out in 2018. Now that might also be on Tubi or it might be on Shudder. I can't remember. I heard that wasn't too bad. I might check it out. Like the remake that they made in 2008, they said pretty much other than it being set like in an underground bunker and like some of the characters' names being the same, it's like pretty much a completely different movie.
I haven't seen them. I gotta see some of these newer ones.
Now I will say the remake of Dawn of the Dead, which they did in 2004, was actually pretty fucking good.
I don't remember that one.
I didn't think it was gonna be good, but it's not that much like the original, but it's just a really good like zombie movie in its own right.
Have I seen that one?
I doubt it. I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
And then, like, I saw it subsequently again, like, on cable.
I gotta check them out again, some of the newer ones.
But, like I said, I didn't even realize there was a remake of Day of the Dead from 2008 until, like, I was looking at the Wikipedia page. I knew about Bloodline because I'd seen it, like, when I was scrolling through movies somewhere else, and I was like, what? I was like, I didn't
I can't keep them all straight because there's also spinoffs.
Yeah, there's spinoffs, and like I said, and George Romero kept making... Like, he made one called Land of the Dead. He made Diary of the Dead, which was, like, a found footage.
Yeah.
Which... I didn't love.
Someone that guy
it was
trapped,
okay.
He was trapped on the roof, or trapped in the store, and they're showing each other messages. They're looking
shit,
at each
man,
other through
I
a rifle scope.
Now I can't even remember.
Yeah, there's so many fucking
offshoots. Land of the Dead was the one with Dennis Hopper in it.
Yeah, they had the big fucking bus.
With the big bus and the big building. John Leguizamo was in it.
Yeah.
I liked that one, actually.
I haven't seen that one in forever.
Yeah, I liked that one. I think, sadly, though, I think a lot, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought most of the gore in that was CGI, which was kind of a bummer. Like, especially because the practical effects in this one were so fucking good.
Yeah.
And I just...
It was another era. And the scope of these old movies was a lot smaller. You're only, like, in a couple locations and... You know what I mean? You didn't have to pack so much stuff into a movie like you do now. Now everything's CG. They're going to show you all these different fucking locations. Something has to be happening every 5 seconds.
Yeah, because they can green screen you anywhere.
They can just green screen
it. You don't have to actually be there.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes that works when it's done real well. Other times, nah, you get the feeling of it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
In a way.
Like I said,
these
it's
older
like...
older ones, they feel like it's really happening in a location and it feels like you're actually seeing something that actually exists.
Yeah.
And the scope of the story is a lot smaller, which makes them a little more intimate in a certain way. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think maybe that's why I find it, like, easier to relate to a lot of these, like, older zombies, because at least there's, like, a couple of characters, only a few characters, and, you know, I don't really think you necessarily need to. I think that's what happened with the movie version of, what the fuck was it? World War Z or whatever. I think that's why I didn't like that one.
Yeah, not too good.
Is because they tried too hard to, like, show you the global scope of the zombie apocalypse, but I think... No. You know, trying to do that, you know, that's fine, but
less is more.
If you don't have, like, a connection, like, to a small group of people or care that you care if they die or anything, then all of that is not going to matter to you, because people's brains just can't take all that in.
Less is more in a zombie movie. We saw that one, remember that Korean zombie movie we just saw where the guy was trapped in the damn apartment?
Yeah.
And the girl was in the apartment across the way?
Yeah, hashtag alive.
Yeah, see, that's how you do it. That was a good movie.
Yeah, because it was like two characters, and you gave a shit about the like you didn't want them to get eaten.
Yeah,
it's like I get that everybody's zombies. I get that you don't gotta like show like look, there's zombies like taking over the whole city. I get that. No, you don't have to. You don't gotta show me.
Yeah, no, small scale.
I believe you.
Small scale personal story of just a couple people. That's all you need.
So I like. I mean, Day of the Dead. They did have the one cool scene near the beginning where. You know, it's like the beginning sequence where they go out in the helicopter and they go to the street. Like I said, they shot it in Fort Myers, Florida. And there's just like nobody around. It's just garbage. And then they start yelling for people. And then like all the zombies start coming out. So I think that was like the first time you got to see like an abandoned city, like in George Romero's zombie movies. And that was cool. But that's all you need. I mean, that's all you need. You just show one thing. It's like, look, everybody's dead. Everybody's zombies. Let's get back into the like the character drama and the gore and watch Dr. Frankenstein cutting up zombie bodies and talking to Bub and getting him to like fire guns and listen to a Walkman.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know. But yeah, so Day of the Dead, if you haven't seen it and if you really like gore, you'll be into it because I really, really like the shit on this. But the character drama is really good too. Like I said, could have done with a little toning down. Not so much Rhodes, but like his sidekicks.
There's only two changes I would have made. And that was the accents and the fucking tone of the fucking the supporting soldiers. But man, you know, that's kind of modern. That's kind of minor.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a big difference. And the movie's enjoyable to watch. It's like an enjoyable shit show. Basically.
I mean, all of Romero's movies are enjoyable, I think. That's kind of why people still remember him as, like, king of the zombie movies nowadays.
It's got a post-apocalyptic feel to it. Yeah. It feels like the other ones, and you're, like, going, okay.
And it's real, like, claustrophobic, because they're all just, like, all these people just, like, sniping at each other in this little underground kind of shit. It's
crazy, implausible shit happens, but you don't care. You're like, okay. It's just, you know.
Well, a zombie apocalypse is not all that plausible, so it's like, you know, you got to suspend your disbelief when you're into, like, horror movies.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that'll do it for our discussion of George Romero's Day of the Dead. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye.